Our view of God. Keep talking, he says. He knows I'm hearing a ringing up here. So, our view of God, how we view who God is, communicates much to those around us. Does our talk match our walk? Does our walk match our talk? If we do not live out what we say we believe about God, then all we do is have religious talk. If we do not live out what we say we believe about God, then all we have is religious talk. Jesus came to give us eternal life so we can allow him to live in us, to change us for this life, and also prepare us for the life to come, and to be an example of him to others. It's his desire that as he allows us to be born again by the Spirit of God, that Spirit of God changes us. We're not the same. If you saw John Dudley back in 1977, I'm not the same. And I thank God I'm not the same. God's in the changing business, and he does it by his Spirit living in us. And he desires for us to walk in obedience before him. And it's important how we view God and how we think about God and we see who God is has a big impact on our lives and how we live, or at least it should. And then what we believe and we talk, our walk needs to match that. We need the help of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. Let's pray. Father, each one of us have come this morning. You've drawn us here. Some of us have a busy mind of what the day holds. Some of us have a troubled spirit because of what we're faced with, the challenges, or someone's sick, or whatever it could be that is really troubling us. So, Father, right now I pray that you would just still our hearts and our souls before you, that you'd allow us to receive with meekness the word of God, and that, God, your word would change us, come and have an impact on us to change us in a way that we could honor you, live for you, love you, glorify you in this life. We want to worship you, Lord. Turn our hearts to do that. And we thank you for the songs that we've sung this morning. Would you receive from our lips the praise, oh God, of who you are. And we thank you that you are God. Father, I would pray for our nation. We've lost sight of who God is. I pray for those who are standing in the pulpits this morning that you would move upon them, that they would clearly speak to those who are listening who God is, the real and the true living God, who sent his son Jesus Christ for our sins, to be the propitiation for our sins. And that you, O Lord Jesus, have sent the Holy Spirit who desires to live in us and work out a life that would be pleasing to you in this life. Thank you for giving eternal life. But Father, we just pray that you would have mercy on our nation, that you'd move mightily. God, move hearts. Move your church. Allow us to live the things that we talk, that you would be glorified, you would be honored. We'd lift up Christ and all lives would be drawn to you and not us. Thank you for changing our lives. Thank you that we're not the same as what we were years ago or yesterday. But God, continue to conform us to the image of Jesus. Please do that this morning. Please open up your word to our hearts. Help us to see the Lord Jesus high and lifted up in our hearts. So, Lord, in the busyness of our minds and our thoughts, please bring peace, some sense of a stillness, to be still and know that you are God. Glorify yourself this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm being challenged over the last couple months of trying to, in my conversations on a daily life that I have with people, even at work, and try and communicate things about who God is. And I'm seeing more and more, if you engage in those conversations, you're seeing people who have a twisted, wrong, perverted sense of who God is. I'm concerned it's crept into the church. I'm concerned that are we, and I'm not saying that you are because I don't sense that, but I know that in times of my Christian life, I've been guilty of thinking about God wrongly. And now I'm growing in Christ. I remember when God changed my heart after 10 years of being a Christian, that I always thought it was performance-based. In other words, only the way God was going to love me is if I did right and do right. And yet when God corrected my mind and my heart to understand that the love of God cannot be earned, that the love of God comes to us because of who he is. And so it's important that we think rightly about who God is. And so this message is coming from that. When we look at various churches today, and each church has a strong emphasis about something or someone. When you look over history and you look at the Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans, Episcopalians, they have a strong emphasis on who God is, the sovereign God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and his attributes. There's a strong emphasis there. When you look at Baptist churches and Bible churches, they have a strong emphasis on Jesus, God's Son. I know that because I came from a Baptist church. And now, well, let me say this, then I'll come back to that. Charismatic and Pentecostal churches have a strong emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And what is the Spirit moving? And what is the Spirit doing? And it's not to imply, this is not to be critical of each of the churches, nor is it to imply that any church does not communicate a balanced view of who God is. And when I speak of God, I'm talking about the triune God. However, some churches will be out of balance in their emphasis of who God is and not focus on each person of the Godhead. Do you know the songs that we just sang, every song had something about each person of the Trinity? I was ministered by the Lord this morning as I read that, as we sang that. And I'm reading the words, and I'm thinking, wow, wow, wow. It is good to recognize that God delights in us as Christians, as believers, that we would have a proper balance. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." That word false communicates that it's a deceitful balance. And if we don't clearly communicate who God Almighty is, God the Father, who gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was fully God in the flesh, and communicate that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and that he lives in us. If we don't clearly communicate that, then we're not being balanced in who God is. We, the elders at Christian Fellowship, want to have a balanced view of who God is. And we recognize and teach that there is one God. And God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And each person is fully God. And you're saying, you might be saying, John, you don't make any sense. First off, I've been asked by God in his word that when I come to God, I must believe that he is. And that when I come to him, I must come to him in faith. Faith has been given to me by the grace of God that has poured into me a desire to know God, and it draws me to him. And so to understand the Trinity and the doctrine of who God is, it takes faith. Now, there is nothing in life that communicates a clear understanding or an analogy of who God is. Men try to do it. Try to say an egg. But if you separate the egg in three different pieces, each separation is not fully an egg. It takes all three of them to be an egg. If you take the shell, the yolk, or the white. But when you see God from the scriptures, each person is fully God. We're living in a time in this country, in this time frame, that there is so much confusion of who God is, and Satan is enjoying it. Say, how so? I could bring in testimonies just from this past week of things that have taken place in our country. Of perversion, of wrong thinking, of bringing God down, having a low view and thinking that God, this is God. Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 1, if you would. As I share this message this morning, it's a burning in my soul that I want to know and communicate clearly who God is. There are many false gods who are producing and communicating false hopes. And I want God to change me and make sure that I communicate clear as I can, who God is. And I want to have a reverence and a holiness and recognize that He is the sovereign one. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. The things that Dick said, that at the end of time, every knee shall bow. I want to bow the knee in this life because there's grace to do so and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than at the end of time, everyone will be forced to bow and then to confess. Romans chapter 1, verse 15, if you would. So much as Paul, this is Paul speaking to the Romans, the believers at Romans. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, it's the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness, because they may be known of God to manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but become futile in their thoughts, wrong thoughts about God, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. And they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Basically, they've gotten this image in their mind and brought God, the Supreme One, down to their own way of thinking, and they think that's what God is like. Be careful in that. Be careful in that. God doesn't come down and He's not like us. And you say, what about Jesus Christ? He's still God. He's still from eternity. He is the eternal one. And that's part of the challenge with so many people is they look at Jesus as being a human, as a man, and that's all he is. We can't go to the scriptures and believe that to be true. Jesus is totally apart, different than you and I. Though the beauty of it, his love for us, is that he was willing to take on the flesh so that he can understand what humanity was like. He's a high priest. He has the feeling of the emotions that we go through. He knows what we go through. And he's right there with us as we go through it. This past week, and I'm trying to talk to the guys that I work with more and more about God. And sometimes it's not even just talking to them. Sometimes it's asking them a question and walking away. Sometimes, almost every morning, guys will come in, and I have guys that come directly to me because they are finished with the project that they did before, and they'll come up and they'll say, good morning, how you doing? Almost every time I'm doing better than I deserve. And if it's a new guy, this one guy who is just a bubbly guy, just love him to death, but when I first said that to him less than a year ago, he said, what do you mean, doing better than you deserve? I said, I am. He said, no way, John. And now he's only known me for four weeks. He said, you're a pretty good guy. You're getting everything you deserve. I said, oh, no. I said, what I get anything is because God and his mercy has bestowed it upon me. He kind of looked at me and kind of shook it. His head, you know, I was speaking a different language. And see, the thing is, he has brought God down to his level, thinking that he deserves what he's getting. Because there's an energy effort that he's putting forward that everything I have, I deserve. And so now as the year has gone by, this past week, I said the same thing to him. And he said, me too. Me too. I'm doing a lot better than I deserve. Now, I don't know what God's going on in his mind, but I know I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to him. And the beauty of my job is the owner of the company gives me freedom to talk about the gospel. The owner of the company has literally brought people in for me to talk to them about the gospel and speak to them. So I'm blessed. I really am blessed. I wish I could say that the people I have talked to about the gospel have received the gospel. So this morning, it's my desire that we would look at things from the scriptures that would communicate who God is. As I get older and I see creation, I'm in awe at God's handiwork. I'm at all at the creativity that my Heavenly Father allows me to see. This morning, I go to take my shower. I come out of my shower. My wife thinks I'm crazy, I'm sure, at times. And I'm taking the showers. I'm showering myself. I'm thinking about Ukraine. I'm thinking about Russia. And I'm thinking about how many of those soldiers or people in the villages or towns have the privilege of being able to take a shower? Or when was their last shower? Or how about people who haven't taken a shower ever before? Or people who have never experienced warm water or hot water and cold water, or being able to have it come from a faucet and come down and wash you? How much I take for granted. I'd love to tell you that has been in my thoughts every time I've taken a shower, but this morning it impacted me of how selfish and how ungrateful I am to God for that shower. The things that I take for granted is literally the mercies of the Lord. That I get to have soap and I get to wash myself and rinse the soap off and dry with a clean towel that just came out of the laundry that happens to be warm from the dryer that I just got it out of. Brothers and sisters, we've got a responsibility before the Lord to be grateful to the Lord for the many things that He has given us. God Almighty chose for you this time, living in this nation in 2022, for the things that we're facing, and we've got to clearly communicate who God is. In our view of God, do we have a low view of God or do we have a high view of God? And we have a responsibility to communicate a high view of who God is. Isaiah 57 says He is the high and lofty one, and He sits in the heavens. He is the sovereign one. He's the one that controls the universe. So this morning, what I would like to do, that's just the introduction. I've had to cut this back a lot. I'm really trying not to go over, so pray for me. I want your heart to be directed to who God is this morning. So as I share some things about God, the best way is to go to the scriptures and see what God says about Himself. So in Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to get to Isaiah 43, and I have to be honest with you, I didn't know I was speaking until Wednesday night. Some of you, that would cause you to be afraid or fearful. But I'm trusting the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning, to clearly direct our hearts to worship Him, to know Him, and to strengthen and increase our faith in Him. So when I say that, I got a text from Carol on Thursday about 10 in the morning, I think it was. And she says, "It's my understanding you're speaking this Sunday." Yes. Well, do you have a title? Can you please give it to me by 12:30 today? Oh, and by the way, if you have a text with it, I'm probably the only one Carol struggles with that with, because I drag my feet. And so I was able to get that, and the title, I gave it to her, and I gave her the text of Isaiah 43, but yet that's not where I'm starting at. So let's go all the way back to Genesis, chapter 15. And the story is there that God has called out Abram. And God is speaking to Abram, giving him direction. He's living his life. God has called him. He's walking what he believes to obedience to the Lord. And there's times and moments before chapter 15 that he actually walks in sin, deceives people, lies about his wife. And yet in chapter 15, we see that God comes to him and He said to him in verse 7, it says, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give this land to you to inherit it." God said that. "I am the Lord." The word there is Jehovah. The word there, Jehovah, is the self-existing one. He has no beginning and no end. He has always been. Do you believe that about God? The self-existing one, Jehovah. He says that to Abraham. In chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." Almighty God. I am Almighty God, he says. And he says it to us as well. The word there is El Shaddai, the one who can do anything, the one who has all strength. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, you know the story there, and I'm going to let you read the context later on. Moses. You know the story of Moses raised up as his parents. God supplies a way that his life is spared. And he's protected. He's raised in the castle there of Pharaoh's home. He still knows his heritage. He kills a man. He flees. He's out in the desert. He's a shepherd, been there for a long time. God, the burning bush, angel of the Lord comes, sets it on fire. Fire, not that it consumes, but it just continues to have a fire there. I burnt a burn pile on Friday night. You know what? It eventually went out. The fire of God doesn't go out. He says to Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I am the God, Elohim, the plural form of God. Elohim is the same word that's used throughout Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. The plurality of who God is. We can see in the writings of Hebrew that of the element of the triune God. And we need to be able to see the Holy Spirit. We need to see Jesus in the Old Testament, or the types that would point to who Jesus is when he comes. 1 Samuel. So let me say this. We've got to know God by who he says and what he says about himself. That is very important. Very important. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Samuel is discouraged with Saul. And God says, why are you so discouraged? Take an offering and go see Jesse and offer an offering there. And I'm going to show you who the next king is. And the first one comes out. And the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord, he's telling something about himself, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks right at our hearts. I am so guilty of judging people and my brothers and sisters by what they look like from the outside. I hate that about me. Because what I'm doing is I'm measuring them up. I'm comparing them to myself. That's idolatry. That is making me Lord, like I'm the one who is infinite. I'm the creator. God forbid that happens in our lives. God is teaching me, and I have for years now, being able to see the heart of an individual and be blessed. And be blessed. I want to see the way God sees. I want to have the thoughts that permeate in my mind, in my body, in my life, that are transformed by the Spirit of God and the renewing of the Scriptures in my own soul, washing me over and over and over again. Isaiah chapter 43, if you'd turn there this morning. Chapters 1 to 39 of Isaiah communicate. They're all been walking in idolatrous ways. Israel has communicated, and they're going to be going into captivity soon. Isaiah is a beautiful, beautiful book to read about who God is and the majesty of the Lord and the heart of Isaiah and the compassion that is flowing through Isaiah for God as well as for the people. Many prophecies of Jesus is in Isaiah. We use Isaiah often when we enter into the Lord's Supper, communion time. But Isaiah 43 verse 10 says, and this is God speaking, he says, "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed." And understand, I'm going to say this again, that I am he. Before me, God Almighty, Elohim, Jehovah, before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. That's a God we serve. That's a God who has called us. It's a God who has sent his Son. And in verse 11, it says, "I, even I," emphatically he's saying here, "am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior, not one. I have declared and saved, and I have proclaimed, and there is no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God." Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one that can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who can reverse it? God is set in order and is doing things that no man can turn and reverse the action by which it's taken. There are things that take place in our life that I'm going to be honest with you that I don't understand. I don't understand. We can speculate and think about various things. Why did God allow the Holocaust? And almost everyone will say because he's spanking the Jews. God still allowed a lot of people to die through the wickedness of one man. And then when we can look at the abortion issue and see that the life of a child is being snatched, its life is being snatched and God's allowing it to happen. I don't understand that about God. And it doesn't change who he is. But he is not going to get the glory in all the things in what he's created and is allowing to take place. He is going to be glorified and he will be lifted up. I am faced right now with an individual that I went to high school with who is so strong, abortion, it's a man. One of his last posts on Facebook is, if it's not in the man's body, he should have no say whatsoever about it. He doesn't recognize the importance that the children of the Lord are a gift from him. They don't recognize that he's the giver of life. That it's the woman's choice to choose. Pray for me because I really want to speak to this individual. And he has a Christian upbringing, church upbringing. And I don't want to be contentious, but I want to bring him back to who God really is. The creator of life. There's many other verses in the Old Testament we can talk about, and I can share with you of who God says. Even in Psalms chapter 50, it says to the wicked servant there that he has brought God down that he would even think, and God says in his word, "You think that I'm such as a man as you." People are guilty of that. There's been times each one of us have been guilty of that, that we brought God down to us, thinking that he thinks just like us. And we know that he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And the goal is for us to know his thoughts and to know his ways. Then when we look at the New Testament and we begin to look at Jesus and all the I ams that Jesus says he is. Now keep in mind, when he came in a little babe in the manger there, he's Emmanuel, God with us. And God in his wonderful holiness, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, dwelt in him. I don't understand that either. But it happened. And it's true. And Jesus is God. He's the one that saved me from the wrath of God. John chapter 6, verse 35 says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So when he says that about himself, it communicates who God is. So God sent his son to be that for us. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Chapter 8 of John, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You feel your, let me ask you this. Do you feel like you're walking in darkness? Are you following Jesus? Now keep in mind, it's the Lord who will still, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. There are times we will walk what has the appearance of darkness or a shadow, and we can't lose sight of who is with us because of the promises that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Some of the most difficult times that we face in life is because as we go through them, we get through them is because God is with us. Thank you. John 10, verses 9 through 11 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It's more about God, what he's done for us, what he's doing for us. And it comes out of his heart of love for us. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Listen, this life is just passing through. Eternity's coming. And who you choose to make your God, either this life or God Almighty, demonstrated and lived out in the life of Jesus Christ and receive him by faith, do you believe you're going to live for all eternity in heaven? You will live eternally if you do not know Christ. It's not the better place. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, in the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. You may be sitting there thinking, John, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what? It is about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because if you think you're going to make it to heaven any other way apart from Christ, you're deceiving yourself. You're being lied to. You're being deceived by the Antichrist, the one who thinks that you're good enough, you can make it to heaven. Don't fool yourself. Jesus has become our righteousness, and that's the only way we'll ever make it to heaven is through the blood of Christ. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. These are absolute truths about who God is, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And apart from them, we can do nothing. If God takes his complete spirit away from you, you're living, you're breathing, he's at work in your life. If you don't embrace him as your Savior, you're still taking a breath that he has provided for you. Now the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14, who Jesus said, I'm going to send. Look what it says in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. These are all verses that you all know, that we all know, that we've spoken about, we've meditated on. But we've got to think rightly about who God is. And I didn't anticipate as I was forming this message that it was going to be about the Trinity. But we can't look at God without recognizing each part of the Trinity. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Boy, I need a helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he's in us. John chapter 16, turn on over there if you would. Verses 7 through 15. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Do you see three parts there working in harmony together for us, to help us to know who God is, to know who Jesus is, to walk in his ways? Then, over in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The helper that Jesus has sent for us, leading us by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will only communicate to us the things of God and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will glorify himself. He will constantly correct that which is wrong and not true in our souls and lead us to Christ. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit this morning that ministered to me as I'm taking a shower that began to give me the right perspective about this shower and be grateful to God because he has done something that I don't deserve. The Spirit, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This morning, you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm not sure I know Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit, if you know Christ, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we belong to God. And if you don't have that witness, bearing spirit bearing witness with your spirit, the Holy Spirit bearing witness that you belong to him, then I would encourage you this morning to turn and repent of your sins and come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Because he will lead you to Christ every time. And that's what God wants to do. It is so important that we look to the Scriptures. The Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is the one that teaches us. You know what? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says that holy men of God were moved by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to write these words. So as we read the book, as we read God's Word and open it up, it's the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us throughout all the Scriptures. It will show us the things of who God is and what he says about himself. And he is true and he is righteous and he is holy. And he sets himself apart from us. He's not like us. Verse in Numbers, it says, I am not like a man who should lie, nor should I repent. So as we look to the Scriptures, God's Word, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. And as we read what God says about himself, about what Jesus Christ says about himself, and what the Holy Spirit leads us to know about himself, we also have to look at the people who pen the Scriptures, because they have the testimony of the Lord and of God himself. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, and we're coming to an end here, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, he who is the blessed and only Pontifex, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. I am convinced God wants us as a people of God to communicate to a world who is perverted and corrupted who God is. People are making God out after their own image, and they're missing him. I'm not one who normally recommends books. I've read this book a couple times, and I'm feeling prompted of the Lord again to read it again. So I'm going to encourage you. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And it could be a devotional for you. There is 23 chapters. In each chapter, he talks about the attributes and who God is. The first chapter he writes, it says, why we must think rightly about God. This book was penned back in 1961. And at that time, he was seeing a great turning away of people misrepresenting who God is. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to have a high view of who God is. The psalmist says, our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. I have to bow to that. I have to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself freely for my sin. And I want to do it in this life, as I will do it in the next life. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so grateful that you are our Father. Lord, thank you for sending your Son Jesus for our sin. Thank you for loving us so much that you communicate who you are. And then the mighty acts that you have accomplished, you've preserved it in your word for us to see and know that you are the one who has all strength, and you can do anything. Lord, even as I say that, the picture of my mind comes when Moses went to take the children across the Red Sea, and you parted it for him and the children of Israel. Lord, you're strong enough to do that. You alone can do that. You save them by mighty acts, mighty deeds, and wondrous deeds. Lord, we're grateful that you haven't changed. You are all powerful. You are all knowing. You alone sits in heaven and governs the affairs of men. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for coming and being our salvation, being our righteousness. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you live in us, that you lead us and guide us. And it's our desire that you would lead us, the children of God, in ways to glorify yourself. We praise you. But God, if there is one here or even at home that does not know you as their personal Savior, we pray that you would turn their heart, draw them to yourself, reveal Jesus Christ to them, the high and holy Son of God, and save them. You alone can do that. And we ask this in his name, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.